The play by Australian poet C.J. Dennis was first published in 1915. "What's in a name?" she says, and then she sighs and clasps her hand and rolls her eyes. "A rose," she says, "be any other name, would smell the same. Oh, wherefore art thou, you Romeo, young sir? Chuck your old pot and change your moniker." Doreen and me, we'd been to see a show, a swell $2 touch, bong tong, you know. A chair apiece with velvet on the seat, a slap-up treat. The drama writ by Shakespeare years ago about a barmy goat called Romeo. "Lady, beyond a moon I swear," says he, and then he climbs upon the balcony. And there they smooge a treat with pretty words like two lovebirds. I nudge Doreen. She whispers, "Ain't it grand?" Her eyes is shining and I squeeze her hand. "What's in a name?" she says. "Struth, I don't know. Billow's just as good as Romeo. She may be Julia or Juliet. He loves her yet. And if she's the tart he wants, then she's his queen. Names never count. But I like Doreen." And the poem continues from there. Today we discover that there is so much more to your name than meets the eye. Let me pray. Jesus, as we take some time to enter into your word, inspired by you, brought to us through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to move as you have been. Would you move amongst us? Would you move in us? Speaking deep to deep as you call us by name. Amen. I wonder what the most popular names are for wherever you're listening to us on this recording, wherever you might live. According to McCrindle Research, the top 100 names in Australia in 2023, there were 2,276 boys called Oliver. Then obviously because we had an above average rainfall last year, Noah came second, followed by Leo, William, Henry, Jack, Theodore, Hudson, Charlie, Luca, who rounded out the top 10. For girls, there were 1,394 girls called Charlotte, followed by Amelia, Ayla, Olivia, Mia, Ava, Matilda, Ella, Grace, and Willow. Oh, and Imogen Barlow joins 294 other girls in Australia who were named Imogen last year. We have our names given by parents, but our identity and how we are known and how we know ourselves can come from so much more and by other means. We don't know how long it had been, but for years the townsfolk from the east side of the water feared what moved through the cemetery and the surrounding hillsides. Too much for one to overpower, a mob from the town would from time to time come and corner this one in the cemetery area, pinning him to the ground and binding with chains. But these same chains would snap and the shackles would be smashed against the rocks as what bound him from within overpowered what attempted to bind him from without. And so the townsfolk knew to stay away from this hillside cemetery. Curious children at times would muster up the courage as a group of them would sneak over. Following the sounds of the howls and the shrieks, they would peer out from their hiding place to see the one that they'd heard stories about. Was it because of where he lived that was what held him captive? Or was it because of what took hold of him that thrust him into the place of the dead? Speculations and theories abound. And for this man, he knew that the townsfolk from the region of Gerasenes looked upon him with equal measure of fear and disdain. Days turned to months and months to years, and the name given to him by his parents was lost from popular memory. And now the words spoken over him and the voices from within were awash with self-hate and confusion about what was real and what was false. Whether as an antidote to numb the fog that plagued him or out of a desire to free him from the voices from within, sharp stones became implements of self-torture as the cuts failed to bring release from the life that he had come to despise. Heightened senses alerted him to a presence, a force, yes, but and a person, but so much more. This one needed no introduction. His reputation and status preceded him. With a shriek and falling to the ground, a spine-chilling cry came forth. Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. With clarity and authority, Jesus went to the heart of the circumstance, asking, "What is your name?" This was not a polite introduction, but a desire to know about one's sense of identity. You see, names have meaning. How you see yourself and your identity speaks volumes. It had become more powerful than the words that his parents spoke over this boy at his birth. This was a question about how he saw himself. This was a question about how he had layering of memories and experiences to create a sense of self. My name is Legion because there are many of us inside this man. The sad irony was that while there were so many within, he was isolated and alone. Luke's chapter 8 and Mark's chapter 5 account remind us of the power of evil to torment a life and imprison one more than chains or bars could ever do. But through the revelation of a question, "What is your name?" what had remained hidden from the world out there was brought out to the light. For it is only when God's light shines that the truth can be seen and true healing begins. Jesus looked beyond the name he had become and saw this man as he could truly be. When his identity is redeemed by his Creator, living life well can truly begin. Through an experience with Jesus the Saviour, the Son of the Most High God, Legion, who had become his identity, was cast out. The identity that held him prisoner was overpowered, and freedom was brought. And now was time for this man to live in that freedom. Not by a change of geography, but through a redeemed identity, becoming all that God had created him to be. Jesus told him in Luke 8:39, "Go back to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you." Mark's account records that the man started off and visited the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. What is your name? As we heard 2 weeks ago, who asked the question makes all the difference to our understanding of the question. Walking up to a stranger in Costco and asking them their name would be taken very differently to when asked by a police officer or someone in customs. One is kind of creepy about how one refers to you, and the other is about identity. I'll leave you to work out which one's which. When Jesus asks you, what is your name? There is more to it than just Billo or Romeo or Julia or Juliet. Jesus is asking you, how do you identify yourself? How do you understand who you are? Today, this is shaped by many factors: our culture, gender, our family of origin, our peers, traumatic or abusive experience during childhood or throughout our life can disrupt our identity formation and have a lasting effect on our identity. Through childhood and adolescence and adulthood, we see ourselves as other people see us as well. Those influences can have our lives, and it can be something that can be empowered to impact our perceptions of self. Words spoken over you by people who have authority or influence in your life can shape your identity. Others telling you that you're fat, you're worthless, you can do anything, you can do better. For me, it was, use your brain. Can all impact your sense of identity. For some, it can be a crushing weight that a person carries into their later stages of life. What you say to and about others matters. What a father says about a daughter, even an adult daughter, can shape and affect how she views herself. The modelling a mum demonstrates to a child about identity and worth can flow on to the next generation about their own self-identity. Is it any wonder that self-help books, travelling gurus, and the long wait list to see psychologists are as they are today? Media, popular culture, influences, whom we listen to shapes our understanding of ourselves. As Lynette Leach once said when she was preaching here, what we feed grows. But the good news is that Jesus asks you, what's your name? But he doesn't want to leave it at that. The question is one of identity. But the invitation that is embedded within that question is one of a lifelong transforming relationship. Possessed by demons within, and not the figurative ones, this man was identified as Legion because of the evil forces that were at work in his life that looked to disfigure and destroy. But Jesus came along to set this person free. Free from the mental, emotional, and physical anguish that summed up his existence. No doubt there were scars that he carried, but they became a testimony of a transformed past. What is your name? With this question, Jesus came to bring this person healing from the past and the promise of a better future. Jesus came to help this person to live life well, not to pull him away, but to restore him back into society and renewed relationships with family, with a powerful story of a Christ-centered relationship that had been redeemed from the past identity that would no longer define his future. And today, Jesus asks you, what is your name? How do you understand yourself? How do you define yourself? Words spoken over you and what words you say to yourself that continue to negatively shape your identity. This is not some claim of come to Jesus and you can be anything that you want to be. What rubbish. But Jesus is inviting you to understand your identity better by becoming free from the layers of identity that weigh you down, the demons of the past and the evil that seeks to disfigure and destroy your identity. Jesus is asking you, what's your name? And invites you into a lifelong transformative relationship. What's your name? Jesus is inviting you to remember that you are created in the image of God. Jesus is inviting you to live life well, to live the best life, empowered by God's Spirit, that you were created to be, and to be all that God wants you to be. It will not be a pain-free life. It will not be a life without challenges or times of doubt. It will not be a life where other words spoken will not hurt. But when you share with Jesus who you are and allow God to speak truth over you, it changes things. It changes how you see yourself. Just like this man who gained clarity of purpose and direction, his testimony of a changed life amazed others and was a powerful witness of the difference a relationship, a true experience of Jesus, can bring to a person's life. You see, who we listen to matters. So, what's your name? Well, I guess that depends on who's asking. But when Jesus asks you, what is your name? It is an invitation to a transformed life. Let me pray. Jesus, you invite us. You invite us through relationship. That by entering into a relationship with you, we get to know ourselves better. We get to re-understand and even reinterpret our past. And to see our future through your eyes, to see all that we can be that you created us and designed us to be. Jesus, help us to be prepared to step into a relationship with you where we can bring all of who we are, our identity and all the mark and the stuff of life that we want to keep hidden. But we can bring it to you and have your loving light shed upon it that will transform it, that will redeem it, that will bring us renewal and restoration. Jesus, we thank you for the offer of a life lived well in you. Amen. So how do we respond today? How do we respond to the things that God might be saying to us in just this short time? I encourage you to continue in this attitude of prayer. Jesus is asking you, what is your name? How do you see yourself? How do you answer? Jesus is inviting you into a deep relationship with him. How do you respond? And what areas in your life do you long for Jesus' redeeming and restoration? There's going to be some music played. And as we do, as we hear that music played, I invite you to respond to the things that God is saying to you today. God bless you.